this morning from Philippians. Just the power and the impact that comes when a believer has an intense focus on Christ. So the first thing is focus on Christ. And, you know, it may sound simple. Sure, we should focus on Christ. But it's so easy in our lives to focus on anything else but Christ. And then, you know, then we start to think about ourselves, think about how bad that our situation is, whatever. But what a glory it is to be a believer who focuses on Christ. And we're going to see Paul as an example of that. And then the second is the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see how Paul is supplied by the Spirit. And again, it's easy for a Christian to, especially after they have been a Christian for a while, to begin thinking that you can do things out of your own energy. And you forget, hey, this is about the Spirit. And we want to focus on those two things. Okay, first of all, Paul was in prison. And so you could say, like, he was in Philippians, he introduced himself as, you know, he was in prison. And so you could kind of look at this as like a situation where Paul was limited. It was not ideal. You could say maybe something happened, or you could say definitely something happened that limited his life, limited his service to the Lord. He was in prison. But we want to see how this situation transpires to a person who is so focused on Christ. And it's amazing. Okay. I would have you know, brethren, that the circumstances in which I am have turned out rather, look at this, to the furtherance of the glad tidings. What? The circumstances, and he, you know, so that my bonds, those are the circumstances, his bonds have become manifest as being in Christ in all the Praetorian, that's the Roman, the Roman guards, and to all the others. So here you have a person, and he was in prison. And, you know, because he just had this element. My life is here for Christ. And you think, like, wow, maybe in prison, that's a bad thing. But if you read this, it's like, no, you know what? It turned out to the furtherance of the gospel, the furtherance of the glad tidings. Okay. This is not true for all Christians. If you put some Christians in prison, it does not result in the furtherance of the glad tidings. It results in them learning how to be a decent human being, maybe. But when Paul was in prison, because he was such a person, like, in prison, you know what? In prison, I'm going to speak to the Praetorian Guard. You know, in prison, when Paul was in prison, he wasn't in a jail sinking in mire. He was in his own apartment, a rented dwelling. And he got chained to a guard. And maybe they had 8-hour shifts. So could you imagine being 8 hours chained to the Apostle Paul? How could you not get saved? And so he was there. And then, you know, so maybe he's chained to a guard and he's like, well, I'm chained to this guard. And then Paul's like, hey, what do you think the meaning of your life is? And the Praetorian is, shut up. It's like, Well, I can keep talking, and you have to listen because you're chained. And then he starts talking about Christ, and then something happens with him. And he just took that situation. And then what he said was, you know what? My situation in prison turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance. Because, well, the Praetorian Guard is now knows that why I am here and I am in Christ. How many Christians can say this? This is what every Christian should say. I want to... Nishka, what's your hardest course? Biomedical sisters, I want you to know the circumstances which I am in. I am taking biomedical instrumentation. But I want you to know that my biomedical instrumentation class has turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. Why? Because you're that person. I am here. I am for Christ. Why am I in this company? Betsy, what's your company called again? Compass. I am in Compass. Is Compass a glorious company? Not really. I am in Compass, but my imprisonment in... Are you... My imprisonment in Compass has turned out to the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. And why is that? It's not a technique. It's your person. What am I here for? I am here for Christ. And then Paul had this. So I can't go from city to city, but I'm chained next to a guard. Hey, what do you think about Jesus? And then eventually he writes, those from Caesar's household greet you. Now, he's not talking about unbelievers greeting you. He was just that kind of person. It's like, you know, and somebody prayed over here, I surrender. Who prayed I surrender? Yeah, I felt it. Did you feel when she prayed I surrender? I felt like she surrendered. If you surrender, your life is different. It's uncommon. If you're not surrendered, your life, common. Come and go. If you surrender, your life is different. It's like this. A surrendered life. That's why, you know, we're having a 10-month labor coming up. And then, oh yeah. That's this opportunity. It's like, take off 10 months to study the Bible. You know what? That makes your life different. Just because, why? I just surrender. Surrender. It's different. My life is different. It's uncommon. And Paul's life was uncommon. So he could be in prison and say, you know what? The circumstances have turned out to the furtherance of the glad tidings. Okay, not only this, but it's interesting, and I'll just go through this. Because Paul had an effect on other people. And so I'll just read about that effect real quick. That most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord through my bonds, dare more abundantly to speak the word of God fearlessly. Amen? So he was an influencer. Without a TikTok channel or whatever. But they were like, wow, Paul's in jail. You know what? I am so bold to preach abundantly the word of God, more abundantly. And that was great. So Paul's like, wow. Tanishka's taking, what's that called? Tanishka's taking biomedical instrumentation in Christ. I'm so bold to preach the gospel. Amen. And so he just had this like effect. And then he had a greater effect on people that hated him. Some, indeed, also for envy and strife, but some also for goodwill, preach the gospel. These out of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the glad tidings, but those out of contention announced Christ, not purely, supposing to arouse tribulation for my bonds. So I'll just explain this real quick. So Paul had lovers and jealous people with him, around him. And the lovers were like, Paul's in prison, and I am just going to preach the gospel, and like, because I'm so encouraged. Look at Paul. He's suffering for the gospel. I'm gonna preach the gospel. And then other people were jealous of Paul. They probably had their own faction in the church. And their faction was, listen to me, but don't listen to Paul. That was probably their faction. Don't think the early church was perfect. No way. It was a mess. It's just like church today is a mess. The church is always a mess. You just got to find Christ in the mess. So this contention, you know, people would preach Christ. You know why I want to preach Christ to this unbeliever? So that he would receive Christ, join me as I am against Paul. So supposing to around tribulation for my bonds, in other words, like, then Paul is going to think the faction in the church that is against me, Paul would think the faction of the church that's against me is growing because these guys are preaching the gospel. Okay. What an interesting person the Apostle Paul is. And then he's like, oh, wait a minute. The people who love me preach Christ, and I'm for Christ. Amen. The people that are jealous of me, they're preaching Christ. And you know what he says? What then? At any rate, in every way, whether in pretext or in truth. Let's read this last together. Christ is announced, and in this I rejoice. Yea, also I will rejoice. I like this. When people preach Christ, Paul did not ask, did not care about their motive. If they preach Christ, amen. Why? Because he's so much for Christ. So when we see another person preaching Christ, we shouldn't think, oh, they're only preaching for blah. That's terrible. No. You should just say, Christ is announced. Amen. I rejoice. And also, this is just a little word, then I want to go to the next topic, but sometimes a believer can think about themselves. Am I preaching the gospel to this person out of pure motives? And then it becomes a little barrier. No, I'm not preaching the gospel out of pure motives, so I won't preach the gospel. Okay, I encourage you to preach the gospel out of pure motives, but I also know you. Come on, sister. You think you have pure motives. Come on, brother. You think you have pure... You know, we're complicated people. So if you feel that you should preach the gospel, you know what my advice to you is? Preach the gospel. And if you feel your motives are maybe a little bit bad, confess it. But still preach the gospel. just because then, you know, look, whether in every way, whether in pretext or in truth, Christ is announced, I will rejoice. And you say, is Rex telling us to preach the gospel in pretext? No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, don't delay your preaching of the gospel because you might think that you don't have good motives. Noah, do you have a roommate? If you're laying there in your bed, you sleep in the same room as your roommate, right? If you're laying there in your bed and then the Lord says, Noah, talk about me to him. Don't think, are my motives pure? Just say like, amen. You could say like, Lord, deal with all my motives. Amen. They're probably not pure. Just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. Yeah. This one guy. Oh, if I go there, we're dead. Okay. But anyway, one guy, he was in the Israeli army, and he's a Jew, not a believer. And then he dated this sister in Christ. And I don't know what her motive was. And then she broke it off with him. And then they never got married. But you know what? He just said, I just saw what a Christian is. And then he became a Christian. I don't know what her motive was. I don't recommend that. Of like, I'm going to date this person so that they would see Christ, and then I'm going to dump them. No, that's not a good thing. No. But the main point is, preach Christ. And then Paul was just looking at his prison, and he saw, because he was so focused on Christ, he saw the gospel furthered in three ways. You know, number one, he preached Christ to the person chained to him. Number two, he inspired the people that loved him to preach Christ more. And number two, he inspired the people that were jealous of him to preach Christ more. And then he's like, look, the circumstances that were among me, my circumstances have turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. Isn't it great to be a Christian? What am I doing in this city? Well, I'm for Christ. You know what? That means the gospel can be furthered in this city. Okay. I know. Paul was so sure. I know. This shall turn out for me to salvation. How many Christians can say that? I know. This will turn out to me for salvation. Usually we say, like, I hope the Lord doesn't let that happen to me. Or, I hope this doesn't happen. How many Christians can say, I know, this shall turn out for me to salvation. This is a person focused on Christ. I know. And it's through two things. Number one, your supplication. Fancy word for prayer. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that's the second point. First point is this. Well, first subpoint of the second point is this. Through your prayer, you need people to pray for you. Don't think you can be a Christian on your own. You need people to pray. That's why, okay, I appreciate YouTube. I appreciate YouTube preachers. I'm not saying bad things. But if your life is only YouTube, that YouTuber doesn't know you're watching. So can't pray for you. You need people to pray for you. You need people. And that means you need to be connected. And where is the best place to be connected? Don't go to peopleprayforyou.com. There probably exists that. I don't know. Don't look at that. I have no idea what that. It might be a bad site. I don't know. It's from church. You need people to pray for you. I know this shall turn out for me, to salvation, through your prayer. And second of all, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it's the same as the Holy Spirit. But he has this phrase. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit, you know, God, he's the triune God. He is one and three. And the three-ness is Father, Son, Spirit. The oneness is there's just one God. And here, so you don't have to say, and then those three are distinct but never separate. So some Christians today are kind of tritheists. Somehow they think, I have three gods. I pray to the Father 30% of the time. I pray to the Son 30% of the time. I pray to the Spirit. It has to be like, whatever, 40% of the time, or else the Spirit will get mad because I ignored him. No. No, we don't have three. They're not separate. And here, Paul says this. He's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And let me just give you a little history of the relationship between the Spirit and the Son. It'll help you. It'll help you. Okay, you know, if you look at how the Spirit and Son were together, you'll just see a marvelous relationship. When Mary, the angel appeared to Mary, the angel said this, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And that means the holy thing that is born will be called the Son of God. If you can understand that verse, you're God. The Spirit conceived in Mary. The holy thing who was born, and that was the Son of God. And so Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And you don't say that the Son started there. No, Son had eternal existence. But what happened was the Son came into incarnation. He was incarnated. He was brought into humanity because of the Spirit coming upon Mary. And then that person conceived of the Spirit. Then when he was baptized, they all saw the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And then you saw, like, wow, when Jesus was on the earth, he was conceived of the Spirit. And then the Spirit was upon him. And then he cast out demons by the Spirit. And he spoke by the Spirit. And you see, oh, wow, there is the Son and the Spirit. What a relationship. And then, you know, Jesus told them, I have a lot of things to say to you. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, and then then as far as the Spirit goes with us, there's this interesting line in John. It says this, like, you know, he said, anyone who believes in me, you'll drink, you know, come to me and drink. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And then John comments, this he said concerning the Spirit, who was not yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So there's something about the Spirit that would become available when Jesus would be glorified. So he was a man conceived of the Spirit upon him, doing works of power by the Spirit, speaking by the Spirit. And then he said, you know what? The Spirit is not yet, or not yet, you know, versions say not yet given, but the Greek just says not yet, because Jesus has not yet been glorified. And then when he was glorified, which it means he was put into resurrection, he passed into resurrection, he was ascended, he received the Spirit from the Father and poured it out. And then you realize, like, wow, the Spirit is here. And then you wonder, like, what kind of relationship does a believer have with the Spirit? Okay, two levels. And I'll tell you a lower level, and I'll tell you a higher level. The lower level is this. When Jesus, talked to his disciples near the time of his death, he said this, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he will bring to mind the words that I say. And so that's one level. Like, we receive the Spirit, and we are filled with the Spirit, and then he just causes us to know things about Christ. And, you know, so that's a marvelous thing, because, like, you know, God is so distant. But what makes God so approachable to us The Holy Spirit. You know, we cannot see Jesus on the earth as he was. That's 2,000 years ago. But you know what? We can receive the Holy Spirit. And so you just have a thought of like, oh yeah, my connection to God is through the Spirit. And then that's very important. And then, how does that work? How does that work? And, you know, I was trying to explain to a person, Christ is in you, and the Spirit is in you. And when they're in you, they're together, they're both in you. And then this person was like, no, you're wrong. And I couldn't object too much because they were feeding me dinner. But she said, this is what I think, she said. I think the Holy Spirit is in me, but Christ is not in me. Okay, that's a problem biblically there. But, you know, when somebody has something in their mind, it really doesn't matter if the Bible contradicts it. So Christ is in me. The Spirit is in me. This was what she said. The Spirit's in me, and then he's connecting me to Christ, who is up in heaven. And so it's like, and then that is according to what was said in John. It's like, the Spirit will be in you, and he will remind you. Okay. And there is that aspect, but it gets much closer. And that is where this phrase, Spirit of Jesus Christ, comes. Do you know? Not only is the Spirit connecting us with Jesus, but when the Spirit is in us, Jesus Christ is also in us. And there's a difference. It's not like, oh, the Spirit's teaching me, although he does teach you. But the Spirit, because they're not three separate. They're distinct, but not separate. So if you have the Spirit, you have the Son and the Father. And so you wonder, like, how can Christ, Jesus Christ, be so close to me? You know how he can be so close to you? The Spirit. And that Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So when the Spirit is in you, when the Spirit, when Paul would say, like, you know how this is going to turn out to salvation? It's through your prayer. We all understand that. But you also need the supply of the Spirit, and not just the Spirit raw, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? It's when the Spirit is in you, and as a supply, as a bountiful supply, as something that's energizing you, making God close to you, when the Spirit is in you, you also have a rich experience of Jesus and a rich experience of Christ. It's like he's brought into me. He is brought into my experience. So Jesus is the name given by Mary to Jesus, to the Son. And it represents him as a human being. What he was never called Jesus in the Old Testament. Never. Not until he was born of Mary. And then the angel said, you shall call him Jesus. That's the name of the man. And you need that, you know, how does the prison circumstance turn out to salvation? You need Jesus, the man, living in you. And how does that happen? The only way that happens is by the Spirit. You need the Spirit of Jesus. That's that. You know what the Spirit of Jesus does? Is this. Oh, Jesus was a man who lived on the earth, and he died on a cross. And when people reviled him, he didn't revile in return. That's part of his humanity. And you wonder, like, how could I be reviled and not revile in return? I don't just follow what Jesus does on the outside. The Spirit of Jesus is in me. And that will cause Jesus to live in me, you know, through the Spirit of Jesus, and cause me, when I'm reviled, I don't revile. Not because I've learned how to do that mentally, that's what a Christian should do, but because the provision, whatever, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus. It's not like he's just teaching you something of somebody who is in heaven, but Christ, Jesus is in you. Where does the power come to live the Christian life? It comes because of the Spirit of Jesus. He's also Spirit of Christ. You know what Christ is? Christ means this. He is anointed by God. And that's what Christ means, anointed one. So the Father looks at all the creatures in the whole universe and says, who is the one who can carry out my eternal purpose? And his eyes, all of his attention, his eyes rest on one person. That is the Son, Christ, the Messiah. He says, oh, I will anoint you as the center of my mission, as the central part of my purpose. And then, you know who is in you? Christ. Christ is in you. You know how Christ is in you? Because the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in you. It's a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so you just wonder, like, Tanishka, what's that course called again? Oh, yeah, I always forget the instrumentation. I'm in biomedical instrumentation. How can this turn out to salvation? You know how? It's not because you're such a great sister, although she is a great sister. It's through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Spirit of Jesus means this: the history of Jesus becomes your experience. The Spirit of Christ means the anointed one that God chose, as you know, when he chose Christ, the anointed one is the one living in you, and he brings you right into the central purpose of God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know what? The Christian life is not our own effort. It's not. The Christian life is a life full of Spirit. And so Paul says, you know, I'm in prison here, but I know this will turn out to salvation. Why? Through your prayers, that's very good, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then we just need to live lives full of the Spirit. Let me tell you, I'll just tell you a couple ways. You just call on the Lord's name, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. You know what? It just fills you with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And you know what? When you're like that, you're just like, oh, his humanity is right there for me. His being Christ is right there for me. And then you just praise him. Jesus, I praise you for dying on the cross. I praise you for getting a victory over death. I praise you for your power of redeeming sinners from their empty ways. I praise you, Jesus, for resurrecting. I praise you, in your resurrection, you became a life-giving Spirit. I praise you, Lord, for being enthroned. I praise you, Lord, for being seated far above all authority and power. Jesus, I just praise you for that. If you just have your life like that, you know what? I know. This shall turn out for salvation. Why? Your life just filled. It's just filled with the Spirit. There's a supply of the Spirit. Paul was just so much in that way. And we have to be people of spirit. Of spirit. Otherwise, you're doing an impossible Christian life. Because according to my earnest expectation and hope, in nothing I shall be ashamed. In nothing I shall be ashamed. But as in all boldness, as always, now also, let's read this together. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. That's impossible on your own, in your own strength. Okay, if I tell you this, this is what Christians do. If somebody hits you on the right cheek, turn to them the left. Easy. I mean, you got to work through it. You know, maybe you got to work on your cheek muscles and everything. Somebody hits you on the right cheek. Possible. That's a verse that's possible. Work on it. Okay, let me tell you this. Jasmine, I want you to be a Christian. Magnify Christ in your body. Yeah, you're like, what do I do? How would people like look at me and have seen Christ? Let me tell you, there's only one way. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's something you can't do on your own. You could turn the other cheek. If you do, praise the Lord. I encourage you, Tanishka, turn the other cheek. But you could get that with practice. But you can't get this. Life is too complicated. Your body is too, there's too many different competitions for attention in your body. But this, Christ would be magnified in my body. Isaiah, wouldn't that be great? People see, I saw Isaiah. I saw Christ magnified. I want people to say, I saw Rex. I saw Christ magnified. And how does that work? It's not by my own strength. It's by all of your prayers. Or prayer, it's singular. I learned that. Prayer, supplication, and the Spirit of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This is how to live the Christian life. And we just see. I am so thankful. When I just considering, oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This is amazing, Lord. What a treasure. What a treasure. When I have the Spirit, I have Jesus. And he's not just somebody I learn about. He's somebody living inside. When I have the Spirit, I have Christ. And he's not just something a Messiah I learn about or wait for. He's actually living inside, bringing me into God's purpose. Because that's what Christ is. And he is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then you look at that and you say, there is no circumstance on earth where Christ cannot be magnified. Why? Because of the wonderful Spirit of Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord. We have such a provision. And I hope our week can just be full of the Spirit. And we would just realize, or people around us would say, you know, when I see you, I see Christ magnified. And then you think, like, does that mean I always win? The football team will always win? Well, if you look, it's whether by life or by death. So that's whether you're OSU or Michigan. You know, like, wow, you won that game. I see Christ magnified. Wow, when you lost that game, I see Christ magnified. It's not based on that. It's based on the work of the Spirit within us. So, praise the Lord. I hope we can just have a life like Paul. I hope we can all be like Paul and have these kinds of profound experiences of the Lord.